So Jesus feeds 5,000. Well, more than 5,000. That was just the men, apparently. Now, I've been present at church lunches and teas far too many to count. Grand occasions of the ordination of ministers, the inductions of ministers and priests, as well as farewell dues and church anniversaries. And you see it, tables groaning with sandwiches, quiches, sausage rolls, cheese on sticks, sausages on sticks, and cakes in great variety and great number. You'll often hear somebody say, "Oh, we've got enough to feed the 5,000. And we know that, of course, there'll be a great deal left over, probably more than 12 baskets full. But here, in the account that we've read from Matthew's Gospel, 5,000 men, apart from women and children, are fed with just 2 fish and 5 rolls. A miracle. A great crowd has followed after Jesus because they'd seen the miracles that he performed on the sick. Jesus has compassion for the crowd, a generous welcome. Well, the disciples can think of is to send them away, solve an impossible situation. We can't feed them. Jesus' care for them means that he will not send the crowd away. "You feed them," he says. Their answer has a degree of petulance about it. "We've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, Jesus takes control. He takes responsibility. He has compassion. The disciples, at least, are obedient to Jesus' instruction to get the people to sit down. He's testing their faith. They offer Jesus all that they have, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes these meager offerings, gives thanks to God, and distributed them amongst the crowd. Maybe as many as 20,000 people. In Jesus' actions, there's an echo of the Eucharist for post-resurrection Christians, because here he gave thanks and distributed it, and all had enough, and nothing was wasted. 12 baskets were left over and collected, and in the Eucharist all are fed. And God's salvation and God's gift of life is there available to all. I wonder, what do we learn? The abundance underlines the miracles and demonstrates the overflowing grace and love of God. Jesus' resources are without limit. He can meet our needs and far more. I mean, if we go back to the very first miracle that Jesus performed, recorded by John in his account of the gospel, the compassion for the bride's family when the wine ran out at the wedding, and Jesus turned 180 gallons of water into the very best of wines. And here in this story, Jesus has blessed the broken, meager rations, and they have multiplied so that everyone is fed, and there are 12 baskets full left over. In the next verses, we read that Jesus sent the disciples away in a boat across the lake while he dismissed the crowd. In response to this miracle, greater than any that had encouraged them to follow him, we are told in the other accounts of the gospel that the people believed that he was the prophet that is to come, that is the Messiah of prophetic promise, and they wanted to make him king, which probably explains why Jesus sent the disciples away, away from the temptation of adulation and power. So what does the miracle mean? Do the crowds have any conception of what all this means for them? Or implies about Jesus? After all, at the beginning of his ministry, Satan had tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread to feed the hungry. To which Jesus responds, we can't live on bread alone. We need the word of God. And the adulation of a miracle, jumping from the temple pinnacle and angels preventing him hitting the ground, the power over the kingdoms of the earth on a tall hill, Satan says, all of these will be yours. And so Jesus fears for the disciples' temptation in the light of this miracle. The number 12 is significant. 12 basketfuls left over, an abundance of food. There are 12 tribes that make up Israel, the people of God. And there are 12 apostles for the new people of God who will have all they need and more for life in all its fullness, for eternal life in Christ. So we see that the feeding of the 5,000 is full of prophetic meaning. In his account of the feeding miracle, John adds Jesus' explanation of the nature of the food by which God wants to satisfy the real hunger of people. This satisfaction is identified with Jesus himself. I am the bread of life. The explanation then moves on to discuss how people are to recognize Jesus as the divine bread and states the consequence of such belief for them and explores the tragic cost for Jesus of giving himself as the heavenly bread. And lastly, we see how his self-offering to God on the cross and to all people in the Lord's Supper, Jesus is and remains the true bread of life. So where do we fit in? They'd seen the sign. 20,000 people had been fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, but they'd not believed. Modern readers often identify themselves with the non-seeing audience who request a sign. We have our own questions and explanations about this physical marvel, but these are wrong questions and fail to see God's Son who breaks and distributes the bread of life. The sign is that Jesus is the Son of God, through whom we have access to eternal life. We find our security in him, in life, through death, and for eternity. We are fed with the bread of life, the stuff of real living. We share Jesus' life in God, which is eternal life, upon which death cannot put a full stop. For Jesus says, I will raise you up on the last day. This is what we celebrate. This is what we participate in when we break bread and share wine at the Lord's Supper. So what's going to be our response? Jesus calls us to join him in his continuing mission. But like those first disciples, we can be slow. We can be petulant even. But when we give God the little we do have, then wonderfully, God draws us into the story that he is writing about the redemption of the world. He breaks open our meager offering and multiplies it. You will know, as I do, that when you talk about this church in this village, people respond warmly because they recognize the love and the concern, the care and compassion that this congregation, meager as it may be, but its influence in the village is far greater. Being broken is a significant image, as joining Jesus' mission is not easy and includes our own incorporation into the cross and resurrection. A hungry crowd? Do we see the needs of the world and the challenge of a declining church and respond by focusing on our inadequacy? our lack of resources, like the disciples who only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what can they be in the hands of God? I loved the poster that I lost when I moved from Rushden to Oxford. It was a beautiful yellow poster with a single candle. And the one side of the poster was black and the other side was yellow. And the poster said, "Don't complain about the dark, light a candle." We need to give ourselves into God's hands that he might use us in serving our community and indeed the world. A hungry crowd. Are we down-to-earth Galileans, the activists who want to get on and do, without actually stopping to ask God, what does he want to bless? What did he want us to be involved with? What are the crowds seeking today? And what does God want them to receive and experience through us, through his church? Most of all, God wants them to receive love and to know the love of Christ. A hungry crowd, yeah, in a society that's experimented to the point of satiation with every form of material, physical, and spiritual palliative to fill the emptiness of their hearts, Jesus' invitation comes with great relevance. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry and will never be thirsty. Satisfaction and contentment, together with eternal security, are the marks of life in all its fullness. If you ask many people who we don't see in church and ask them what they're really looking for, it is contentment. It is satisfaction. They might use words like peace, but what they actually mean is contentment. So eternal security is marked by life in all its fullness, providing bread that satisfies. In the Eucharist, we participate in the death and resurrection of Christ, dying to self, rising to new life in the power of the Spirit, and we discover forgiveness and restoration, renewed to be Christ for the world. And it is here, in the one loaf shared, that the gathering community becomes the priesthood of believers, the one priest becoming Christ together. And in the one loaf broken, the community scattered becomes the priesthood of all believers, the one priest, Christ in the service and for the world. I look back to my time in Rushden, and there's one example that I draw from that which I think symbolizes much of this. The churches together in Rushden used to hold a united outreach on Good Friday each year in the middle of the now pedestrianised High Street. Then it had to be cut off by the police so that we had a space. This was outside the independent Wesleyan Church, opposite what is now the Nationwide Building Society. One year, following a dramatic presentation of the crucifixion, which really drew a crowd and a great silence, each of the town's clergy took a large, freshly baked loaf, which had been lying at the foot of the cross, and they took it and broke it and gave them, offered the broken pieces to everyone who had gathered. I am the bread of life. The celebration of the Lord's Supper brings our Sunday and Monday worlds together. It is thanksgiving to God for everything that God has accomplished in creation. It is everything that God has accomplished in redemption and new life, and for God's work of bringing the kingdom to fulfillment in spite of our rebellion, in spite of human sin. The very celebration of the Eucharist is an instance of the church's participation in God's mission to the world. This participation takes everyday form in the proclamation of the gospel, serving our neighbours, and being a faithful presence in our community and our world. The incarnation in history demonstrates God's clear identification with the created world of space and time. The celebration of the Lord's Supper, with its backward look to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and its forward look to the hope of the consummation of the world in God's eternal kingdom, celebrated in the physical elements of bread and wine, embraces the whole of life, the whole of human existence. Solidarity in the Eucharistic communion of the body of Christ, and the responsible care of Christians for one another and for the world, finds a specific expression in the liturgies that we use, in the mutual forgiveness of sins, in the sign of peace, intercession for all, eating and drinking together as a community, and taking the elements to the sick and to those in prison, and to celebrate the Eucharist with them. This is the love and ministry of the servant Christ, exemplified in the feeding of the 5,000, and in which we share, in whose mission we participate, as broken bread scattered as Christ for our community and for the world. Amen.